Well, good morning. Did you notice that? I started right on time. Thank you. I was just kidding. I thought it was good. So good morning. Welcome to each of you. It's great to have you with us here today. For those of you who are watching us online, welcome. I hope you, as much as we can, help you feel like you're a part of what's going on here, even though most of it is digital. But we appreciate you being here. And if you're here in person, we just want to invite you, if this is your first time with us this morning, fill out the connection card. That is found in the seat back in front of you. Just go ahead and fill that out. We just have a record of your attendance with us this morning. And also, if you have a prayer request that you would like the staff to pray about, you can put that on the Connect card here and then give it to Tracy in the Welcome Center in the back. So a couple of announcements that I would like to go over for you. One is that we're getting ready to move into the Easter season. So in 2 weeks, we'll have Easter, and I just want to let you know we're going to do Easter baskets. So we're going to have like these little bitty Easter baskets for everybody. And my wife asked, like, how many should we do? And I said, 100. So here's the deal. Y'all got to invite 100 people or else I got to eat a lot of candy. All right, so anyway, just kidding. But Easter is coming up, and this is a time period where a lot of people are interested in coming to church. They're thinking about coming to church anyways. So all you got to do is ask them. So just ask everybody. Ask the gas station attendant. Ask their people at the grocery store. People, all your neighbors walking their dog. Invite them to church. Just invite everybody to church. It'd be great to have everybody with us. There are literally a ton of announcements in your bulletin. There's a ton. Gail and I are having to work through and try to figure out how do we put more announcements in there because they just keep expanding and expanding. And so I just want to encourage you week after week, make sure you look at your bulletin, read through it. There's a bunch of things that are going on you're going to want to be aware of. Also, if you consider Redeemer your home church, whether you're a person who is a member here or you're just a regular here, just want to encourage you to give on a regular basis to the ministry of the church. That mechanism of giving is how the ministry continues here at the church, how we keep the lights on, how we pay the staff, and how we turn the heater air conditioning on. So, just to continue in your bulletin, there are three different ways you can give. You can give, physically in the wooden boxes in the back, and you can also give online, and then you could also send your check into the church either way. That's all the announcements that I have for you this morning. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come into your house. Thank you for the opportunity to be surrounded by other brothers and sisters, many of whom who have an intimate relationship with you just as we do. And this opportunity then gives us a chance to not only be an encouragement to them, but to have them be an encouragement to us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us as we move into a time of worship. I pray, Lord, that you would give us an open mind and an open heart to what you would have for us. Give us the opportunity to be an encouragement. Stimulate us to be an encouragement to the people around us and to be encouraged by them. We love you and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's stand together and let's sing about our great salvation that we have in the Lord, because that's always a great thing to sing about, the salvation that we have, and that's the glory of God in the cross of Jesus Christ. So let's lift this in a celebration this morning. Here we go.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Glory to his name.
Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied.
Yeah.
is a time of the service where we do something called the meet and greet. And what it is for you to talk to the people next to you and say, hey, you know, good morning, my name is, and so and so. Here's what I've got for you today. My application today is going to be pretty intense. So I want you to start thinking about applications. And here's what I want you to do. Go to the person and say, hey, my name is so-and-so. And the most craziest application Pastor Forrest made us do was fill in the blank. Now, I've made you do some pretty crazy applications. I have. What's the craziest one that you've had to do? And if you're a visitor here today, it's okay. Just say hello to people next to you.
I love Psalm 32 that says, songs of deliverance surround those who trust in the Lord.
You unravel me with a melody, and you surround me with a song of deliverance from my on you. the sun to rise for my sleep at night. I depend on you. I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Where the Spirit leads as I'm following, I depend on
together and sing. This is the way, the truth, and the life.
You're the way, the truth, and the life.
Let's stand together.
You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. When I pass through death, as I enter rest, I depend on song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry.
Let's do faithfulness.
Faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what you want from me.
Pastor Forrest's sermon. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be transformed by the power of your Spirit, Lord, so that you can put your righteousness in our heart. And so, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would work in this room this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would work through Pastor Forrest to speak to us and let us hear what we need to hear this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Forrest.
It's human nature to not want to do something that we know is going to be a lot of work. Just our human nature. If you know a project is a lot of work, you just don't oftentimes want to start because you know it's going to be a lot of work. So this past, about a week ago, or a little more than a week ago, I made the reluctant decision to switch the translation that I use. And so I switched from one translation to the other translation. And I was reluctant to make the change because I knew how much work it was going to be. And even a short time, 1 week, it has proved to be the case. It is a lot of work. And the reality is that for me and for us, we often are in a spot where we're reluctant to do something if we know it's going to be a lot of work. It's just our nature. And believers, and when I say believers, I'm talking about people who have come to the place in their life where they have acknowledged to God that they're a sinner. They acknowledge to God that they need to believe in what Christ did on the cross to have their sins forgiven. And they enter into a relationship with God by faith. So believers, people who are in that category, and you, many of you I know are in that category, but believers are also reluctant to try to be righteous. And the reason why they are is because it's a lot of work. Now, everyone will say, oh yes, I'm trying. But when you get down to it and you actually talk about how are we changing our lives, how are we getting up early to read or to pray, or how are we carving time out of our schedules to do things that would be considered helping us be more righteous in our behavior, when it comes down to doing that, a lot of times we don't want to do it because it's a lot of work. And as we've been talking through this series in the book of Romans, we also have this understanding that because we have placed our faith in Christ, God now looks at us and says, you're righteous. Even though we're not, He sees us that way. And so in the laziness of our spirit, we're like, why should I even bother? Why don't I just keep going like I'm going? Because the reality is in the middle of us, we're reluctant to do things that are a lot of work. But this morning, what I want to challenge you with, and I want to pose a question to you is, why should a believer try to be righteous? We all know we should, but why? Why should we try to go to the next level, to do something more than we're doing now, to try to be righteous in our behavior? Why? It's a lot of work. And it's probably going to be fraught with problems. Why should we try to be righteous? And this morning, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Romans. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn there, or you can use a pew Bible. And we're going to be in the book of Romans, and we're continuing our mini-series in the book of Romans. And the section that we're going through is a section that talks a lot about the theology of sin and how our relationship should be or what it shouldn't be with sin. And so we're going through that. This morning, we're going to be in chapter 6, Romans chapter 6. And the verses that we're going to look at, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write about this dynamic. And he said, why, and what he explains to us, why should a believer try to be righteous? In light of the fact that God has called us righteous, in light of the fact that God has graced us and He's forgiven us, why should we go to the next level and try to do things that are righteous? And so we're gonna look at that in verses 15 to 23. So Romans chapter 6, verses 15 to 23. And a little bit of what we're going to see is Paul's going to remind them of the dynamic that has gone on in their lives. And he's going to remind them, hey, you've embraced righteousness. You've embraced sanctification. And you've embraced life eternal. And he uses this three-step argument to convince them to continue to try to be righteous. To try to do things in their life that would be characterized as righteous. And so that's where we're headed this morning. The first thing that the answer to the question, if Paul were to pose the question, or if somebody were to pose the question to this passage, would say, why should a believer be righteous? Why should I be righteous? Why should I? And what the verses 15 through 18 are going to say is because you've embraced righteousness. You've embraced that in your life. Look with me at verse 15. It says, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Far from it. Verse 16. Do you not know that the one to whom you present yourselves as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of that same one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were entrusted. And after being freed from sin, you become slaves to righteousness. Verse 18, after being freed from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. What the author, the Holy Spirit, is doing through is communicating through Paul, as he's trying to convey, is like, you should not go back to sinning. You should not go back to that life that you used to live, because you've already chosen righteousness. Verse 15, verse 15, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Are we to sin? Are we to commit sin because we are not under the law? We are not under the rule system. It used to be in the understanding of these believers that at one point in the past, that people needed to be obeying the rules in order to be in a right relationship with God. And what Paul has told them in the previous chapters, that's no longer the case. You can be in a right relationship with God just by having faith in Jesus. And so the question is, can we go on sinning? Can we sin? And are we to sin because we're not under the law? We don't have to obey the law to earn God's favor. But we're under grace. God has graced us, as we talked about last week. And he emphatically says, far from it. No. Do not continue in that life. No, just because you have been graced doesn't mean you should do sin. Verse 16 says, do you not know that the one to whom you present yourselves as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of that one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? And he highlights the dynamic here in this saying that who you choose to obey is who you are calling your master. If you choose to obey sin, you are in a sense saying sin is your master. And the result of that lifestyle was death because of Adam's sin. And then on the contrary side, if you choose to obey righteousness, the end result of that is you become righteous. Your behavior changes. You become a righteous person. Verse 15. Verse 16 goes on to say, do you not know that the one to whom you present yourselves as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of that same one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart. And here, what the verse is doing is reminding them, and they say, remember the time when you evaluated for your own selves whether being obedient to sin was working for you or being obedient to righteousness was working for you, and you chose from the heart to stop sinning, to believe by faith in what Jesus was doing, and to choose righteousness. He's calling them back to that moment and saying, hey, remember that time. You did a pros-con chart in your life, and you realized that living for sin was not the best way for you to go, and you chose righteousness. Verse 18, and after being freed from sin because of what Jesus did, you became slaves to righteousness. And ultimately what these verses are doing is reminding the people of the time when they chose righteousness. That reminder is important for us when we're going through something difficult. When we're going through a difficult situation, it's often helpful to remind ourselves the choices that we made. The hardest thing for me, changing translations. The hardest thing for me is I had so many verses memorized in the other translation. And so this week I started trying to memorize the verses in the new translation, and it was a week's time and I still don't have one verse memorized. I'm struggling with it. And so I was in there, I was working through my memorization. I'm like, this is dumb. I should just go back to the old way, right? I was like, I should just go back to doing it that way. And then I remembered. I knew this was coming. I knew that difficulty was coming. I weighed all of the benefits and I weighed all of the cons, the pros and the cons. I weighed them all and I knew one of the cons was going to be this was difficult, but I still made that choice. And that's ultimately what is being said here. He's like, remember, you already looked at your life of sin. You saw what the result of that was. You already look at the potential of being righteous. You saw what that was, and you chose that life. Even though it's difficult, you still knew all of that, and you chose righteousness. And he's reminding them of that. And this morning, I think it's helpful for us, too. If you can just spend a few moments in your head and try to think back to the time when you first believed. What was the feeling? What was the dynamic that you were going through when you made that decision? For most of us, it was a time period where we realized that our sin was taking us in a very, very bad direction. We didn't want that anymore. Do you remember that time? Do you remember that time? Do you remember when you were pursuing a life of sin and it was messing everything up? And you said, I don't want that life anymore. And that's what these verses here in Romans are doing. They're saying, hey, do you remember that time when your life was so characterized by sin? You didn't want that anymore. You chose out of it. You chose to be righteous. So why should we be righteous? Why should we try to be righteous? First of all, it's because this is the life we've chosen. This is the life that a believer has chosen. But then in verse 19, he says, you've also embraced sanctification. Verse 19 says, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh and to lawlessness. I lost my place here. Because of your flesh. For just as you presented the parts of your body as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your body parts as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Verse 8, he says, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. But he's acknowledging, hey, this isn't a perfect analogy. The analogy that I'm about to give you isn't a perfect analogy. Not all parts of it are true. But I'm giving you this analogy because it's easier for you to understand. And he says this, for just as you presented the parts of your body as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, before you became a believer, you presented the parts of your body to sin, your tongue. They didn't actually do this, but this is kind of what they were doing. They were taking their tongue and saying, here's sin, you use it for what you wanted to use it for. And the result was lawlessness. The result was things continued to spiral in a bad direction. So now, flips it over. So now, present your body parts as slaves to righteousness. Take your tongue and give it to righteousness and say, righteousness, you use this body part now. And the result will be sanctification. You will become more holy. Your life, the things that you do, will change. You will become sanctified. You will live differently than you lived before because you're pursuing righteousness. And that is the message that is trying to be communicated here, is to pursue being righteous, because the result of that is that you will be holy. You will live a different life. One of the reasons, and one of the major reasons why I did transfer to the different translation, was because in the program that I'm at school right now, one of the things that we're doing is we're seeing the way in which topics and subjects are weaved through the whole scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, the story is the same. And there are topics and there are subjects that are weaved all the way through. And one of the ways it's easy to find those or to spot those is the word is reused in several places throughout the Bible. And so it's easier to identify. And so as I was trying to weigh, should I not change the translation, I was like, if I were to make this change, it would be easier for me to spot these threads that are weaved through, because this particular translation is very literal. And they use that word, they translate the word the same oftentimes throughout the Bible. And so I was like, man, this makes a lot of sense for me to switch over. Even though it's going to be hard, it makes a lot of sense. I can see how things will be different and easier. And that's kind of the message here in verse 19. It's saying, listen, you've made that choice to be righteous, and as a result, you've become sanctified. Your life is changing. You're becoming more holy. Look at the difference that it's made in your life. That's another reason why you should try to be righteous, because you've embraced that process of becoming more like the Father. So for this morning, as you're thinking through what we're talking about, I want to challenge you. I want to think through, what is the last habit, what is the last righteous habit that you changed? What is the last time you changed something to be more righteous? Did you, something about reading the Bible more or at a certain time? Did you make a habit of praying for certain things or keeping a list of things that you were praying about? Or maybe was it something to do with going to church or being involved in church? When was the last time you made a righteous habit decision? You really challenged yourself to do something more. When was the last time you did that? And the reason that I'm posing that question to you this way is I want you to think. And I want you to think about the dynamic, about how your life has changed since you first became a believer. There's some things you don't do anymore that you used to do. There are some things that you do now that you definitely didn't do before. How have you been changing in your own life to become more holy? Why should we try to be righteous? First of all, we should try to be righteous because we've already embraced righteousness. We've already done the pros and the cons, and that's the way we figured is the best way for us to live. Second thing is we've chosen to live a holy life. We've chosen to live a life that's different. And then the last part is in verses 20 through 23. And we see here is that we've embraced life eternal. Verse 20 says this, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in relation to righteousness." Verse 21, "Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death." Verse 22, "But now, having been freed from sin and a slave to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life." Verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Verse 20 is talking about this analogy, saying what you're slave of one, and whatever you're a slave of, you're free from the opposite. Verse 20 says, "For when you were slaves of sin," before you became a believer, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in relation to righteousness. You were a slave to sinning, and so you were free from righteousness. It had no control over you. It had no dictate over you. Therefore, what benefit were you deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? The lifestyle that you were living now, if you think back to that lifestyle, you're ashamed of the things that you used to do. And that life was leading to death. This is, if you're a slave to sin, you're free from righteousness, and look at the mess that you were in because of that. But then in verse 22 says, but now you've been freed from sin because of what Christ did for us. And you're enslaved to God. And you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. And unfortunately, when we hear eternal life, we always think of after we die. And that is an element of it, and we're going to spend a whole lot more time there than we do here. But within this context, the idea of eternal life is not after we die. The idea of eternal life is once we enter into a relationship with God through Christ, our life starts. We start having an intimate relationship with God, which we could not have had otherwise. And life, eternal, begins from that moment forward. And his point is that you've already embraced the relationship with God, that it gives you a life that is fulfilling and satisfying because of your intimacy with the Father. You've already embraced that life. Don't go back to living the way that you used to. And in verse 23, he kind of wraps it all up. So for the wages of sin is death. The result of sin is death. But the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You've embraced living eternally with God. That's why you should pursue righteousness. It's interesting. Whenever I make a big decision, I always do lots of research. So I did lots and lots of research on translations. And this book here, this translation here, is a translation that was redone in 2020. It was it was reworked in 2020. And one of the reasons that I chose this translation was I was like, man, these guys are changing the translations every about 20 or 25 years. And so if I get hooked on a translation and then they change it again, it's going to be all this work all over again. So I really thought, man, if I could stick with this one, and it just was translated recently, if I stick with this one, it'll probably take me through till I retire. I'll be able to have one translation, hopefully, that's at least my mentality. I'll be able to stick with this one till I retire. One, I can stick with it. My decision now will last for probably the end of my ministry. And that's kind of the thought behind what is being presented here. Your righteousness, the righteous life that you've chosen, has resulted in sanctification and has resulted in you are now living life eternally in a right relationship with God. And that relationship will last for eternity. That's why we need to try to be righteous. Because whatever we're doing now, we are entering into a closer, deeper relationship with God, and that relationship will last forever. What I'm going to challenge you to do, and I'll give you some specifics about how we're going to do it, but I want to challenge you this next week to start a righteous habit. Now, it may be something that you've been thinking about for a while and like, yeah, I really should do this, I really should do this. It might be something that you've seen somebody else doing and you're like, oh, it seems to be productive in their life. I really should try that. Or maybe it's just something you have an interest in. Maybe it's starting to memorize scripture or start to read the Bible more regularly. Or maybe prayer, keep a prayer journal and start tracking what you're praying about and seeing what's being answered. Or maybe it's just starting to be more consistent about being involved in the church or whatever it is. I want you to pick something that you will do, that you may commit to doing this next week to start a habit. Start a righteous habit this week? That's my challenge for you. I'm going to give you something to do with that in just a little bit. All along, I've been asking this question. Why should we try to be righteous when it's so much work and it seems like God has already done so much for us already? Why should we try to be righteous? And it is a lot of work. But the reasons that we should try to be righteous is we've been reminded, hey, you already embraced righteousness. You looked, you compared both lifestyles, and you know the lifestyle in relation to sin is going nowhere. Righteous living is the lifestyle you chose, remember? And you chose, you embraced being sanctified, becoming more holy. You chose that life. You wanted that life because when you thought about it, you said, this makes the most sense. And now you're reaping the benefit of an intimate relationship with God that you could not have had any other way. Now you're able to be in that relationship with the Lord. So I've been telling you about it all sermon, and this is my new Bible. This is my new Bible. It looks a lot like my old one because I like this blue Bible cover. But it's a new translation. I've done it, and it's been very difficult to switch. My wife will tell you at least twice over this past week, I almost bailed on the decision to switch. I almost bailed because it was so tough. It was so difficult. But I kept reviewing in my mind, why should I do this? What are the benefits of doing it? I kept reviewing those. And by the end of the week, it came down to Thursday, and I said, you know what, Forrest? You just got to do it. Quit thinking about it. Quit trying to evaluate it. Just change, make the transition, start using the Bible. And once I did it, once I put the decision away, I said, this is the decision, I'm going with it, and I just started using it, it was easier. And that's really the heart of what I'm trying to challenge you with here this morning. There's a lot of reasons for us to not choose to start a righteous habit. There's a lot of reasons to not do it. It's going to be hard. You don't have a lot of time. It's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be a conflict with this, that, or the other thing. There's a lot of reasons not to. But there's a lot of reasons to do it as well. And if you sit there and you try to hem-haw back and forth and try to figure it out, you're never going to do it. So just start. So you know what? I'm going to try this week to start a righteous habit of whatever. Do it this week. Just start. Take the work. Start the habit. Just do it. Now here's where the application comes in. There's four general categories that I'm giving you, and the four general categories are a habit, a righteous habit in relation to the Bible, a righteous habit in relation to prayer, a righteous habit in relationship to the church, and then a catch-all of other. So there's four basic categories: the Bible, prayer, the church, and other. And I'm challenging you to commit to starting a righteous habit in one of those four areas. Now here's the part where it gets tricky. You got to have that in your head before it works. So you got your idea, what you might commit to, got it in your head. Okay, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you in a little bit to raise your hand and say, I'm doing this one. Or I'm doing this one, or I'm doing this one, whatever it is. And you're not raising your hand to me, you're raising your hand to the people around you, because here's what I'm going to ask you to do. After the service, find someone who has raised their hand to do the same area that you're doing. So let's say, for example, your commitment is, I'm going to try to pray. Oops, wrong section. I'm going to try to pray every day this week. That's your. I'm going to commit to do that this week. I'm going to try to do that. And when I say raise your hand for prayer, you're going to raise your hand, and then you're going to look around and see who else has got their hand raised. And then you're going to pick one of those people, and you're going to go talk to them after the service. And you're going to say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What are you thinking? Just talk to people. Now here's the thing that's weird about this is you're going to probably talk to people that you have never talked to before in your whole life. That's okay. That's kind of the point of this. So, there's four different sections, and what I want you to do is, if you've got a commitment that you're ready to make in your own mind about related to the Bible, related to prayer, related to church, or related to other, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And when you raise your hand, what you're doing, you're going to look around and you're going to find one person who's also raising their hand at that same time. And you're going to talk to them after the service and say, hey, what are you thinking? What is it you're going to try to do this week? Okay? I told you already, I come up with crazy things. It's crazy. So here's the first one. So if you're going to try this week to start a righteous habit in the relationship to the Bible, raise your hand. Okay, everybody look around. If you got your hand raised, look around and find somebody. You got to talk to them after church. Okay, put your hands down. If you're going to try to make a righteous habit this week in relationship to prayer, raise your hand. Okay, look around. Find somebody. Find one person you're going to talk to. Got them? Okay. If you're going to try to make a righteous habit change in relationship to church, raise your hand. Okay. Look around and find those people. There's a couple over there. Okay, just helping you out. Okay. And the last one, if you're going to make a righteous decision in all the other, make a habit. Okay, look around. Okay. Hands down. Okay. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. Even if you don't do this, I think you should. First of all, it's going to get you talking to people you might not have talked to before. But second of all, it gives you an opportunity because a lot of times we can make these commitments in our head and then we don't actually follow through on them. So now somebody else is going to know what you've said you're going to do. So after the service, go find that person, tell them what you're thinking, listen to what they're thinking, and make a new friend. At this point in the service now, what we do is we move into our time of communion. And if you came into the service this morning and you did not get one of these disposable communion cups, just raise your hand. We have some gentlemen in the back who will get them to you. And this is, we affectionately call this time the Lord's table. And what we intend to communicate with that is, this is the Lord's table. This is not our table. You do not have to be a member of Redeemer Bible Church to be able to participate in the remembrance of what Christ did for us on the cross. You don't have to necessarily be someone who comes to this church regularly in order to be participating in this, because this is the Lord's table, it's not our table. One of the things that it's always important for me to remind you is that if you are not a believer, if you have not entered into an intimate relationship with God, this isn't going to make any sense to you at all. And it's probably best that you just let this time pass. But if you have entered into an intimate relationship with God, this is a time for us to celebrate what Christ did on the cross for us so that we could have that life eternal with God. So that we could have a relationship with God. It's a relationship that we could not do on our own, but Christ did it for us and offered to us the opportunity to know God. And so this time is a time where we remember what Christ was willing to sacrifice so that that could happen. If you remove the first section and reveal the bread, in the book of 1 Corinthians we read, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. In a few short hours, Jesus would allow humans to beat him, to torture him, his blood would be shed not only in the torture, but then when he went to the cross. And reminded them of this when he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then he concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
All right, let's all stand together, and I think we all agree that we need righteousness very badly from the Lord, and that's why we just run to the cross, and we keep doing these things that bring us into the righteousness of the Lord. Let's sing this out.
Righteousness, righteousness, what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness, righteousness, what you want from me.
Okay, take my heart and form it.
Take my heart.
Big thank you to Sam. Alex is on vacation this week, so Sam is coming in a pinch. And I appreciate him coming in to doing that. Sam is in the PhD program at DTS, and we've become good friends. So he's just coming here to help us out. And thank you, you guys, too, for helping him out. So, and you guys have a lot to talk about over the next 5 or 10 minutes. So as soon as I'm done praying, don't forget, okay? Because next time when I do the meet and greet and I'm like, hey, what's the craziest application Pastor Forrest has ever had you do? This one might be on your list. Now, all glory to God who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.